Again, very briefly from a statutory standpoint, what is a charging order? Note that it's a it can be taken by a judgment creditor of a member or a judgment creditor of a membership interest. So a lot of these discussions, it's critical to remember that distinction of that kind of bundle of rights idea and ownership of an LLC or a partnership, where a membership interest is a member's share of profits and losses. Similar items, including the right to receive distributions, which will be very important in the charging order, but it does not include a member's right to participate in management. Becoming a full member with management rights is a distinct concept with these entities. So a court is the body authorized to grant the charging order. It is not something that a creditor can just go file, but it is part of the process of them getting the judgment that they're trying to enforce. So obviously, the court's involvement is going to be very involved in the cases we'll get to here in a minute, as well as some of the planning issues. So, and then very briefly, what is the nature of the charging order? There is a right to receive a distribution to which the judgment otherwise entitled. It's kind of that garnishment concept that whatever money were to flow to a member out of the interest under their membership interest would go to the judgment creditor holding the charging order. It serves as a lien on the judgment debtor's membership interest. Again, a right to those financial distributions and rights and privileges that come with it. The lien is not subject to foreclosure, however. It is designed to be the exclusive remedy to satisfy the judgment out of a judgment debtor's membership interest. Again, the idea of the framework historically has been that you cannot foreclose on it in any way, take the membership interest, and somehow become a full member of the entity. It is not intended to have any effect on exemption laws, so whether or not property is exempt or non-exempt for purposes of the litigation is determined outside the scope of the charging order rules. And finally, there's no right to obtain possession of or exercise remedies against the property of the LLC. That's specifically laid out in the charging order rules, but again, consistent with that concept that the property of the entity is separate and apart from the property of the owner. So go to the next slide. Want to cover a couple of cases as background. I think you'll see from these, the facts can be pretty extreme. And so it's, I think, more important to see kind of where courts have opened the door from some considerations than necessarily repeating this exact fact pattern. First case I want to look at briefly is Duvall versus Diemenbrunn. In this case, the judgment creditors obtained a judgment against Norris Duvall. And this gets very complicated because there are several members of the Duvall family involved in this case. And so the judgment creditor sought a turnover order against his community property, including his wife Paulette's undivided one-half interest in a partnership called the 206 Camellia Partnership. That partnership was owned 50.1% by Jean and 49.9% by Paulette. So obviously Jean had some rights as majority owner to make some decisions. As it came out in the case, the principal asset of that partnership was some real property valued at $75,000. So this is when some of the shenanigans, if you will, started. 2 days after the request for the turnover order, Jean notified Paulette she was in default under the partnership. The case was not incredibly clear exactly what the nature of the default was, but remembering that it was the partnership held a $75,000 piece of property. He bought out her just under half, one half interest for $5,000. It also comes out later in the case that he also, when the court was exploring going and the judgment creditors were looking to go after the property in the partnership as well, that he sought to put a lien on the property held in the partnership also. So, the judgment creditor sought a turnover order to prevent disposition of the community property. And the idea was it was based on a fraudulent transfer claim. So we ran into an intersection of fraudulent transfer rules and charging order and how they intersect. So if we can go to the next slide. Jean Duvall challenged the temporary injunction against the transfer, saying it violated the charging order statute. Judgment creditors argued that it was appropriate given the means by which the transfer occurred, again, for fairly nominal value right after the turnover order was sought, kind of in the middle of the fight for the interest. And of course, it was also apparently relevant that all of the parties to this dispute on the partnership side were related by blood, marriage, some way. They were all connected. So in kind of trying to harmonize fraudulent transfer rules and charging order rules, the court determined that the charging order restrictions and the equitable remedies under fraudulent transfer laws could be harmonized and read to work concurrently. So Tufta would allow a creditor to obtain an injunction as an equitable remedy against an allegedly fraudulently transferred partnership asset. And court noted that the charging order rules only prohibit equitable remedy against partnership property to satisfy the judgment. So the court decided that did not mean that the charging order rules prohibited all equitable remedies against the membership interests other than specifically what was stated in the charging order statute. So trial court determined that it could grant equitable relief to preserve the partnership assets, to prevent the sale of the property out of the LLC, to prevent it from being put under a lien, as Gene had tried to do. So go to the next slide.